next on the 5 o'clock report.
To walk across the Rio Grande and enter the United States illegally.
Requiring state taxpayer funding of abortion.
Effective in preventing hospitalization and severe disease.
To look at it from below, upwards.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Tracy Lynn. An airstrike in Afghanistan has killed 7 children and 3 adults. CENTCOM Commander Kenneth McKenzie says he's fully responsible for the strike and its tragic outcome. The launch happened back on October 29th in Kabul.
Every leader in the department that spoke to this in the moment that it was spoken to was speaking to you in good faith based on the information that we had. And that includes me, by the way. Things that I said, obviously, have not turned out to be correct.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
But it was done in as good faith and effort as possible to be as transparent as we could with what we knew at the time. Obviously, we now know more things and different things that has completely changed the character of this strike. And again, we're trying to be as open and transparent as we can when we know things.
Again, the Pentagon announcing this afternoon that a U.S. airstrike did not hit its intended ISIS-K target. Back in the States, a key FDA advisory panel voting against COVID booster shots today. The panel was overwhelmingly against the Pfizer COVID booster for people 16 and older. President Biden had wanted to start a booster program as soon as next week. Dr. Marion Gruber questions the need for boosters for the general population.
Findings of effectiveness of the additional dose, while necessary, is not sufficient for an FDA approval. A determination that the additional dose is safe for the intended use is also required.
Brown University's Dr. Ashish Jha supports the additional coronavirus shot.
I think people who are vulnerable, people who are older, people with chronic diseases, immunocompromised, they would benefit from a third shot. I think that it is necessary for that group. For young and healthy people, I am far less convinced that we need that third shot.
When it comes to COVID vaccines in the U.S., a new study finds Moderna's dose to be most effective when it comes to keeping folks out of the hospital. The CDC study took a look at vaccination among thousands of hospitalized adults between March and August. Moderna's vaccine offered 93% protection against hospitalization, while Pfizer's had 88%. Johnson & Johnson came in third with 71% protection. Dr. Sarah Oliver echoes the beliefs of the CDC.
Regardless of the vaccines evaluated, all vaccines have remained effective in preventing hospitalization and severe disease.
To Texas. Aerial footage shows it shoulder to shoulder under an international bridge in the Texas border town of Del Rio. Close to 10,000 migrants are waiting there to be processed by the Border Patrol. Fox News reporter Bill Malushin.
They're using this dam right here to walk across the Rio Grande and enter the United States illegally. They then use a dirt path that's right below us and they stream into the international bridge area.
Congressman Tony Gonzalez says the only way to end the humanitarian crisis is a policy decision by the White House.
This is unsustainable. This is not America. This is not the way things should be.
Most of the 10,000 migrants have come from Haiti. Law enforcement in the nation's capital says it's ready for tomorrow's protest near the Capitol.
The leadership of the U.S. Capitol Police Department has been preparing, working to ensure that we don't have a repeat of January 6th.
Police Chief John Manger says he expects a peaceful gathering among those who are protesting the arrests of suspects on the January 6th attacks on the Capitol.
We're not going to tolerate violence and we will not tolerate criminal behavior of any kind.
A huge security fence now surrounds the Capitol complex and the U.S. Supreme Court. And a new study shows women were responsible for nearly half of all gun sales since the start of 2019. The nation's firearms survey found that about 3.5 million women became gun owners since January of 2019. That's nearly equal to the number of men who purchased a firearm. Still to come this Friday, parole changes in New York, supply shortages in Pennsylvania, and finding a masterpiece.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The call for tonight, patchy clouds and moonlight. Clouds will be more prevalent, though, for most. And there'll be a shower, even a rumble of thunder in a few spots, mainly western New York overnight. Low temperatures, mild, upper 50s to the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a shower possibility. High temperatures, 70s and low 80s. Cooler Sunday, bright, sunny, beautiful, with high temperatures in the upper 60s to the middle 70s.
Thank you, Kevin. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signing parole reform into law today.
New York State incarcerates more people for parole violations than anywhere in the country. That is a point of shame for us. and it's going to be fixed today.
Under the new law, good behavior will allow the shortening of parole sentences. Reporter Marla Diamond says it all stems from conditions at Riker Island in New York City.
The Less is More Act was drafted in response to what some are calling a humanitarian crisis at the city jail. A lack of staffing and supervision has led to dangerous conditions for inmates and correction officers. 10 inmates have lost their lives in the past 9 months. The measure would mean the release of hundreds of inmates locked up on technical parole violations like missing an appointment or curfew or drug and alcohol use.
The Less is More Act is slated to take effect in March of next year. Opponents say the change will benefit those that commit crimes rather than victims. The supply chain industry is dealing with the challenge of labor shortages that's impacting states across the nation, including the Keystone State. CBS's Jim Kersula.
Pennsylvania's state-run liquor system has started rationing sales of a few dozen products because of supply shortages. There are now 2 bottles per day purchase limits for certain products at stores, as well as limits on how many bottles bars and restaurants can get.
Meanwhile, towns and villages across New York State are still trying to figure out how to handle and respond to the legalization of marijuana. Family Life's Jeremy Miller reports.
Yeah, that's right. Some town councils have voted to ban marijuana consumption sites, such as smoking lounges and cafes, within their district. Local governments have until December 31st to decide if they want consumption sites or recreational marijuana retail stores within their town limits. Towns that opt out now still have a chance to opt back in at any time. Voters can also petition the town's decision and move the matter to the ballot at the next general election. No matter what a town decides, New Yorkers over the age of 21 will still have the right to possess and consume cannabis. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Next at 5, Christian watchdogs Jason McGuire and Michael Gere keep us up to date on what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg. They speak with Family Life's Bob Price.
Michael, I want to start with you and talk about election integrity. I remember last fall in November of 2020, fondly, you making remarks about the election, the presidential election, and how so much of that night didn't pass the smell test for you. Why can't we have honest conversations? Conversations in this country about voting rights, voting reforms, without people who raise questions being lumped to those crazies who stormed the Capitol back on January 6th. What is needed to restore confidence in voting again in Pennsylvania?
Well, if I had the answer to that, I'd be a wealthy man. I mean, everybody's looking for how to crack that nut. The whole issue of election integrity is one that comes up all the time here in Pennsylvania. Can we trust them in the future? And what happened here in Pennsylvania with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court insinuating itself and changing laws in the midst of it, blaming COVID for those changes, and then the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania making additional changes and counties doing it differently. There's plenty of reason to wonder what happened in Pennsylvania. Was it truly fully transparent and legitimate? And I would say no, it was not fully transparent. And hopefully the forensic look that the Pennsylvania Senate is engaged in will help to get some answers and maybe take us in a positive direction, because election integrity is vitally important.
It's hard to have a democracy without it. Let's talk about the pro-life debate in New York State heating up once again, Jason. Governor Hochul showed where she stands on this issue in no uncertain terms this week, blasting the Texas fetal heartbeat law. I thought it was kind of interesting using the word grotesque while she condemned legislation that would ban abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. She is kind of using Texas to beat this drum again in New York when it comes to the Reproductive Health Act, which you have talked about a lot on this program. What will this mean exactly for this issue in New York?
You know, I'm thinking back to when it was Cuomo versus Trump here in the state. It seemed every day there was kickback to what was going on. And now we're seeing that with Governor Kathy Hochul. She's finding foils what's happening in Texas to distract from what's happening in New York. Perhaps most disturbing, though, is her call for censorship, essentially. She was bothered by the fact that pro-life groups were posting information regarding the truths about the Reproductive Health Act after its passage, and is now calling on social media like Facebook and others to actually push back back and not allow that message to get out. She calls it misinformation, but will not document it. We believe it's truth, and it's helping people to understand the realities about the sanctity of human life that she does not like.
Yeah, and you never see the media bias more pronounced, Michael, than when it comes to this issue. It's just unbelievable how the mainstream media has spun this story out of Texas. The narrative is that this is an inherently an evil piece of legislation. I don't read anywhere in the U.S. Constitution that states do not have the right to set their own abortion rules, which is what Texas did here. I'm sure this is going to be a big conversation for you as you get ready for this March for Life coming up later this month.
It's hard to imagine an issue that's more front and center in Pennsylvania and nationally than the sanctity of life, both with what happened in Texas, the case before the United States Supreme Court, the Dobbs case out of Mississippi, that could potentially lead to the overturn of Roe versus Wade. And right here in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has a case before it that could lead to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court requiring state taxpayer funding of abortion and could even toss out all of the existing pro-life laws here in Pennsylvania. So it's vitally important that Pennsylvanians turn out for the Pennsylvania March for Life on September 27th. We have buses leaving from all over the listening area, people who are hearing my voice. There's likely a bus leaving from somewhere in their region or their county, and they can find out more information about that at pafamily.org.
That's Jason McGuire with New York Families and Michael Gear with Pennsylvania Family Institute speaking with Family Life's Bob Price. You can catch up on each episode of Capital Connection by visiting familylife.org and clicking on the podcast link under the radio tab. Now time for your market report brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks ending the day lower, dropping the most in a month as investors consider global economic recovery from COVID-19, elevated inflation, and continued risks from China and the debt crisis. The Dow was down 166 points, the Nasdaq lost 138, and the S&P 500 fell 41. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
We live in an age not only of credit and debit cards, but of online and mobile payments. In other words, not many of us are spending cash or even writing checks anymore. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. Financial columnist Jason Zweig wrote about this recently in the Wall Street Journal, asking, what happens to people's spending behavior when money is dematerialized? You know, there's something about having to get money out of your wallet or purse that makes spending seem different and more painful than simply shoving your phone in the direction of a cashier or waiter. No one knows the longer-term consequences for consumer behavior of going mostly cashless. But here's my advice. However you spend, remind yourself it's God's money. That way, you're more apt to spend with care. Discover the best Christian financial articles, podcasts, and videos by visiting our website, moneywise.org, or by downloading MoneyWise Biblical Finance from your app store.
Up next, Drive Home Sports with Family Life's Sonny Delfiette.
Thank you, Tracy. We start with the NFL. The Bills visit Miami. Head coach Sean McDermott says must score points.
Points matter, right? That's what wins games. So that's what we're into is points and why we didn't come away with more points.
In Pittsburgh, the Steelers host the Las Vegas Raiders. Head coach Mike Tomlin says got to fire them up.
It's our job to make the plays, to keep the crowd engaged, to entertain them, and to make it as hostile as we can make
Nick Sirianni and the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Zach Wilson set to make his regular season debut at MetLife when the Jets host the Patriots. Tyrod Taylor returns to Cleveland facing a former team as the Browns host Taylor and the Houston Texans. College football, West Virginia hosting number 15 Virginia Tech. Buffalo hosting number 16 Coastal Carolina. Pitt at home against Western Michigan. Syracuse hosting Albany. Saturday night, the big one, number 10 Penn State hosting number 22 Auburn. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiette.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The weekend is upon us. We will run the risk of a shower or thundershower in a few spots overnight, tonight, and tomorrow, but the vast majority of the time is dry and fairly pleasant. In fact, Sunday looks like a stunner. The call for tonight, patchy clouds and moonlight. Clouds will be more prevalent, though, for most, and there'll be a shower, even a rumble of thunder in a few spots, mainly western New York overnight. Low temperatures, mild, upper 50s to the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a shower possibility. High temperatures, 70s and low 80s. Cooler Sunday, bright, sunny, beautiful, with high temperatures in the upper 60s to to the middle 70s.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, picture it. A painting showing Joseph and Mary along with Jesus and John the Baptist as toddlers. A missing 17th century Italian masterpiece has been found hanging in plain sight in a suburban New York City church. Iona College art professor Tim Ruggio spotted the oil on canvas painting at Holy Family Church in New Rochelle and suspected it was a Cesare Dandini.
This painting was thought to be missing because it was referred to in documentation in the Metropolitan Museum's archives.
He contacted art experts who have authenticated the painting, saying it's called Holy Family with the Infant Saint John and had been missing since the 1960s. It's now hanging high at Iona College's Ryan Library for the next 3 months until it gets a permanent home.
Mary's foot is raised, and you can see the bottom of it. And in Italian, that's called di sotto in su, and that means roughly to look at it from below upwards.
It's amazing what happens when you look up. And that's the world we live in this 17th of September. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
The 5 O'Clock Report was sponsored in part by Phil Jones Seedway, farm partner of Arkport, New York. They provide vegetative wildlife attractants, farm seed products, and lawn and turf seed. The phone number is 607-3...